This morning I want to talk about one of the most basic of things for Christians. Probably the biggest thing, the biggest step that we have to take. I want to talk this morning about prayer and how prayer precedes everything in our life. Prayer should be the most important thing in your life. Everything should be built off of that. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the disciples come to Jesus with an interesting request. They say, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And it's interesting, as far as we know, the disciples never asked to be taught to preach or to heal or to be better leaders or how to establish an evangelical church. Excuse me, can you speak today? Jesus may have taught those things, but we know it was important enough to the disciples that came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." They want to know. That was important enough to seek instruction from Jesus. The disciples were making some kind of a connection here because Jesus had taught them in John chapter 5, verse 19. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in a like manner." This is quite a statement coming from Jesus. I think the disciples started to put it all together as they watched him and they listened. Jesus taught, it's not really me doing the work. It's the Father working in me. See, he's the one that's always working. He's the power behind Jesus Christ. And they began to put it together. Even their Jesus, their high priest, the one who'd been tempted and yet never sinned, his power come from God the Father. They observed it, so they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. They made the connection between prayer and peace. Connection between prayer and power, and between prayer and positive results. They said, "Lord, we want to get in on this. Will you teach us what's going on here when you pray?" You see, Jesus began his public ministry with a vigil of prayer. Luke chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened." That wasn't the first time that Jesus prayed, but he launched his public ministry in prayer. He moved on from there and was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days. He spent those 40 days in fasting and in prayer. And that's the pattern that he chose all through his time on this earth. And that's the pattern that the disciples observed. And we need to understand that whenever and wherever people are being saved, lives are being changed, that there's someone that's praying. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 13. "And when they had entered, they went into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." Prayer and supplication. Now the result of this praying was a fulfillment of prophecy, the birth of the church, and the filling of the Holy Spirit. What we're talking about here is Pentecost. We're talking about Acts chapter 2, where an uneducated fisherman named Simon Peter preached the most powerful message ever preached. And the scripture tells us that 3,000 souls were saved in one day. That's exciting. That's powerful. You see, the disciples weren't just eating and talking in that upper room. They weren't just hanging out to see what was going to happen next. They were praying. The disciples' lives were changed and they'd never be the same. And it should be that way for all of us as Christians. Once we discover the power of prayer and understand what it means to be in communication with our God, with our Father, and observe how lives are changed and things happen, they saw the connection between prayer and people's lives changed. They saw Jesus' connection to his Holy Father. The same Holy Father that enabled Jesus' ministry on earth can enable our ministry if we have that connection, just as Jesus did. See, God relates his work on this world through the prayers of his people. The early disciples recognized the power of prayer. And I want to know today, where is it rank in importance in your life? Is it important enough to pray every day? Is it important enough to pray multiple times a day? What about being continually in prayer? That's one a lot of people stumble over, because they forget that prayer is just communication and thought with God our Father. Have you made it a priority in your life to pray, to set aside time for prayer? I know that we're a busy people. We have full-time jobs. We have to rush to get up in the morning and get out the doors, and it's even worse if you have to get children out the door in the morning. Then you have work. And then when you get home, you got housework, maybe yard work. There's meals to fix. There's dishes to do. Then there's the kids that you have to run to baseball practice, soccer practice, plays, swimming. Maybe grandkids that you have to look after. Have to be picked up, have to be delivered. Then there's shopping. We can't forget shopping. Then maybe like 8 o'clock, your favorite show comes on TV or that ball game you've been waiting to watch. Then by 9 o'clock, 9:30, you're tired. It's time just to sit and veg out before you go to bed. You see, God just has to understand we have more demands on our time now than the disciples did. Well, the good news is God does understand. And the bad news is he knows what you place ahead of him. Now, if you think you're busy, let's take a look at a day in the life of Jesus Christ. Book of Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 21. Says, then he went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and talked. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as having one authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. They were all amazed, so they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all those who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. He did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. But he said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Now Jesus had a busy day. He started out preaching in the synagogue, cast out demons while he was there. Did you notice that the demons even knew who he was and were afraid? Next he healed Simon's mother-in-law of a fever. In the evening after the sun had set, The whole city lined up behind outside of Jesus' door, or Simon's door, waiting on Jesus. The scriptures say that he healed many and cast out many demons. The next day, Jesus got up before daylight. He went to a solitary place to pray. Simon and the others went looking for him. They said, "The people are looking for you. It's time to get back and pick up where we left off yesterday." You see, Jesus had connected through God through his prayer. Jesus was to go into the next towns and preach there and cast out demons. If Jesus hadn't taken the time to pray and spend time with God the Father, he would have missed out on God's instruction, the opportunity, the direction. God directed him to the other towns. So I wonder, in our busyness, in our days, how many times have we missed out on opportunities from God? Could we let our busyness interfere? But how can God bless us if we don't hear him? How can our lives be transformed if we never hear from God? If you don't have time to pray every day, it's time to examine your priorities in life. We can't be blessed and we can't bless others unless God is directing our steps. We have to get in that rhythm of natural prayer life where it becomes automatic or we miss out on God's instruction. You know, I was thinking about this. I think about me getting in my truck and heading into town. And anymore, my truck seems to have a mind of its own. As soon as I'm coming down Cambridge Road, the wheels turn and come down Denman. Now, that's more like autopilot. And that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about giving God the steering wheel and letting him steer your life where he wants it to go. You see, if we don't get into that rhythm of prayer, we fall into the trap of negotiating with God whenever we run into problems. You know what I'm talking about. You see, we try to manipulate God when we don't really have that relationship. Prayer becomes a way of getting things from God when we run into problems. Instead of relating to God and letting it be a lifestyle. Maybe you have a situation in your life right now. A situation that's disrupting your whole family. It makes you so you can't sleep at night. And out of desperation, you turn to God. And you turn the situation over to him, but you tell God how you think that he should resolve the problem. But if you have that relationship with God like Jesus had, that special personal conversational relationship, a relationship that's built on prayer, maybe you would have seen the problem coming. Maybe God would have guided you away from the problem. Or maybe God would have equipped you to handle that problem when it came. Instead of worry and stress, you'd have blessings and strength. God doesn't want you to get waist deep in a swamp full of alligators before you turn to him and ask him how to drain the swamp. He wants you to be in communication with him so he can guide you around that swamp. So today I want to say, let's take a stand and become people of prayer. But we have to approach prayer with the right attitude. First off, we have to be real. Don't try to impress God. Don't pray what you think God wants to hear. Remember, he already knows your hearts, he knows your thoughts, and you're not fooling him. Just speak to him with what's on your heart. Then we have to be relaxed. We have to be prepared for a conversation with God. We need to go to some place where we can be alone, where we can have quiet, we can take those deep breaths and just pause. Remove the distractions and concentrate on God. And then we have to be revealing. And I think this is maybe the most important part. When you talk to the Lord, talk. Talk to him like he is your friend, because he is. Talk to him like he is your father, because he is. Talk to him like he's your counselor, because he is. And talk to him like he's your Savior, because He is. And that's what prayer is with the Lord. You get right down to it. It's conversation between two people who love each other. We talk to Him because we have a love relationship with Him. Yeah, He's God the Almighty, be exalted above all. But He invites us to come and to talk with Him. Think about how special that is. A being that powerful, a creator that holds all life in the palm of His hand invites you, His children, to come. Just like the example of Jesus Christ, to talk to Him. He desires that relationship. He desires to guide your life through your prayers. Here's a quote from Samuel Chadwick. It says, "One concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, or prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil and mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray." Why is that? You see, Satan knows, Jesus knows, and now we know. Our power, our strength comes through prayer with God the Almighty. So whenever people are praying, things are happening. Lives are being changed. People are being saved. And today is the day to take a stand. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today? If not, this is the day to take a stand and accept Him. I'd love for you to come down during a time of invitation and let me pray with you or one of the deacons. And just pray. Christians, you come here today with a burden? If you did, take a stand. Leave that burden at the altar. Have family problems, money problems, marital problems? Take a stand and leave it at the altar. Do you know someone that doesn't have Jesus in their life? Do you pray for them? Do you believe that prayer makes a difference? We have to pave the way through our prayer. God doesn't desire for anyone to spend an eternity in hell. He wants us all to come to Him. Is your relationship with God where it ought to be today? Do you know God's will for your life? Are you serving God or are you just attending church? Let's all stand together. If you want a Spirit-filled life, if you want to be strengthened and led by God, today is the day to take a stand and renew that prayerful relationship. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, You give us the greatest gift through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But You give another gift. That's the Holy Spirit. You give us the power to communicate with You, to pray and to listen. And Father, that's my prayer this morning, that everyone here will take a moment and just think of the great things that You've given us, that You're available to us through our prayers, that You listen, You hear, and You respond. Father, I pray that not one person leaves here today without leaving their burden behind and renewing that relationship they have with You. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.